earlier in the week about we asked him if what you did last Sunday against Atlanta was sort of a template for success going forward. And he said it's always, you know, a blueprint to win, to run the ball well, and so forth. But can you do that against Seattle? I mean, they're only giving up 3.5 yards a carry, I think. Can you carry that kind of mindset into?
I think you can, Kara. I think that's the key, what you said there. It's a mindset. And that's really, you know, it might play out. You never know how it's going to play out. You go up against a team that's this good against the run in their home place, and you still have expectations to run the ball efficiently, run it enough to win. That looks different from game to game. But I think what you're saying is a good thing, that we got to go in with the mindset that we can run the ball effectively against this group.
You've used Isaac Seumalo as a fullback and now as the extra tackle. Obviously, you guys think that helps the team, but how much of that is just wanting to get him some valuable reps at this point in his career?
You know, I think it's serving. It's first and foremost what you said there. It's just a question of need. You know, it's always put the best 11 that we think we can on the field for whatever the particular play design and call is, and we think that he gives us that. There is the added benefit that, you know, this guy, we believe he's a good football player, and he's getting him reps that can help him develop. Obviously not at his position, but I think there's still carryover.
How does this role change now that Barber's supposed to be back?
Slightly, you know, I mean, obviously with Allen coming back in and being the starter, you know, I guess you're one step further down the totem pole. But, you know, still look for him to contribute.
Your outside receivers
had only 5 targets in the past game. Was that by design, or is that a product of the way the game developed?
You know, it's a little bit of both. I mean, there were certainly designs. We saw some things that we could wanted to get the ball inside to Zach and to Darren in ways that we thought we had good matchups and to doing some things versus their defense. You know, but at the same – and then it was just a little bit of the flow of the game. We ran the ball a lot, so, you know, you're kind of hitting them in the midsection, as you say. You know, running the ball good inside. Anytime you can be effective inside, I think that's good. How many targets they get over the long run, I don't know. I guess I've just seen it over the years. I've been on teams where, you know, or even in Ryan Matthews' position, not at the receiver position, but, you know, for a couple weeks, nothing, and then a great game. You see that all the time at receiver, in my opinion. I see that all the time. I've been on teams with 2 Hall of Fame receivers, and one guy's not getting targets for 2 or 3 weeks, and he's a little bit upset, but then week comes, and he's fine, and back things are back to normal. So I just think that's part of it, part of the flow.
Nelson only had 2 catches and 72 snaps. How do you get more out of him?
You know, we just keep plugging away. I mean, like we've said it, I really believe in our guys. I like our guys. I mean, I love our guys. And we go in with a lot of confidence. So, you know, the more plays you call, like you said, the more chances you get. We just keep dialing them up, and we figure that the ball is going to get distributed where it has to get distributed to win the game. Yeah, there's an advantage both ways. Obviously, you know, Seattle's defense, they get to see what we designed against their particular scheme, because their scheme is a little bit unique. The zone coverage that they play is very similar. So we designed a couple things last week that we have to change up, do something a little different, find a couple other wrinkles to attack, you know, their zone defense and the challenges that it presents. But certainly it helps us as well. We know what worked. We can switch things up, make things look different, find ways to get the same thing done just in a slightly different way. And so I think that's what we try to do.
Right. How tough is it to get the receivers off to a really quick jump at the snap without a false start, particularly in a stadium where you're probably going to have a lot of silent counts?
Yeah, it's a big challenge for us. I mean, obviously, you know, we had the penalties last week, which is unacceptable, and you don't want to see that. And then you go on the road in this environment, which is, as we all know about this environment, it's challenging. So it's just a matter of concentration. It's a matter of trusting it and being focused. And you still got to be able to get off the ball. The good thing is we practice this all the time. We just have to do better as far as eliminating those pre-snap penalties.
Do you play against a cornerback like Richard Sherman? Do you attack him, or do you kind of stay away from him, or do you pick your spots? What does your philosophy change any when you have someone on that side of the ball?
You have a healthy respect for him. He's a very good player. And I think there's, you know, I think there's certain things that you run your play that you have called that you feel good against anybody, and then there are other plays that he has strengths that you think, I might just, if I have a choice, if I'm a quarterback and I have a choice on that one, I might go the other way. I think most quarterbacks think that. They go into the game and they study the film. But then there's, to be honest, there's more than just a few plays where we just call the plays and we run them, and we have confidence in our guys. But sometimes there's a choice, and sometimes you take you choose to throw away from a corner that you have a lot of respect from. That happens all the time.
Has just 6 rushing first downs. Is that enough from him?
Yeah, I mean, I love the way Carson, you know, we've said, I love the fact that we talk all the time about one of the things that is a strength of Carson is his athleticism, is his size. But in this league, over the long haul, you have to be able to do it from the pocket. Now, as he grows and develops as a quarterback, will he find his way to make a few more rushing first downs? I'd rather have him start off this way, the way he's starting off in his career, be thinking of the mindset of staying in the pocket, getting down there. He has the natural – I think our offensive line has been doing a good job of protecting, for the most part, to be honest with you. And he hasn't had to run out of there too many times. So that's a good thing for us. And we don't want him around there running around trying to find lanes. We've been doing a pretty good job in pass protection. We're not flawless and not perfect, but overall pretty good. I like his mindset. I like his instincts in the pocket. I'm comfortable with where he's at. But with his athleticism, I do expect that over the course of time, he will make some more first downs running the football.
From your experience, Frank, what's the challenge going on the road for a young quarterback, and what's it take to be successful on the road?
You got to keep your poise. And the challenge is, you know, we'll simulate it. We'll go inside today. We'll crank the noise up. But it's really hard to totally simulate this environment. And but that's the fun part of it, really is. I mean, when you've been around this league and you kind of get in environments like this, as challenging as it is, it's fun. I mean, it's fun. And that's what so this will be a good experience for Carson. In one respect, it's just another road game. It's just the next opponent on your schedule. But everybody knows when you go to Seattle that it's a tough environment to play in, mainly because they got a good football team. So, you know, to me, you look forward to it. But you got to keep your poise. You got to be able to bounce back from a bad play. I mean, there's going to be however many offensive plays in a game, you're going to have a bad play or two. You got to have the fortitude to get back up and just stay aggressive.
We saw a lot of Cam Newton on Gronk on Sunday. Does he just cover bigger tight ends, or does he generally cover a guy, let's say, like Zach Ertz, or do they throw someone else on him?
You know, I'm not sure what their formula is. I think they have, you know, they can match him up at any time, anywhere that they want to. So, again, we go in, if you have a play that's designed to go where Ertz is a primary read and you get a matchup that on a particular kind of route, if you got somebody guarding him that you don't feel it's a match, there's option, you know, progression 2, progression 3, so on and so forth.
You've got your quarterback is 6'6", Carson. Russell Wilson might be 6 feet tall. In general, how much does a quarterback's height affect timing of an offense, the kind of plays you call, that sort of thing? Does Wilson have to take a deeper drop to get better sight lines, that sort of thing? You have to account for that.
You know, I think the height of a quarterback is a factor. I think it's one factor of however many factors that there are advantages to being taller. You know, Russell Wilson is a, you know, he just has so many other factors, you know, if however many there are, if that's the one factor that he's, you know, where he's not at high, you know, obviously not the same height. He's just so great in so many other areas. But the line of vision, I think, is a factor. And you have a way, I think, since you've been that height your whole life, you're used to finding the throwing lanes. I remember talking to Doug Flutie about this a long time ago. You know, you're used to it. I mean, that's all you've ever known. And so it's natural, and you adapt, and you learn to be a great player through it, and that's what he's done.
Right. So you talked about earlier about switching things up because you're facing a similar defense as last week. But, you know, a lot of people say that they're, you know, especially their secondary, it seems like they play almost in the
offensive team's huddle. They know what's coming a lot. Are they the best in the league at that?
They're pretty good. And one of the reasons is they play, you know, everyone knows they play a lot of middle field closed zone. And then, you know, they're playing more man now than what they used to play when they first started coming on the scene and coming on as a team. But when you play the same zone all the time, there's only so many ways to attack it. So if you're not going to play, for instance, cover two, then what when a team plays cover two, there are plays that are designed to be good against cover two. Well, by not playing cover two, they don't have to worry about ever practicing against those plays because we don't run our cover two plays against the Seattle defense. So they know how teams attack them. And so so the advantage that they try to play is, hey, here's the 20 concepts over the last 10 years that teams run against this defense. If we can identify them quickly, then we can guard against them more effectively. And so that's the advantage that they have. Of course,
one of the effectiveness of their cover three is that it often looks like man pre-snap.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks the same, and the corners press bail sometimes, and so that can help it somewhat as well.
Have you found that playing on the road, especially early in the games, has been kind of an issue for Carson as far as not getting off to, like, really good starts and everything so far?
You know, obviously we haven't gotten off to good starts on the road. I'm not so sure it's been an environment as much as just overall, you know, we just haven't been as efficient offensively as we need to be, you know, to get off on a good start and get more confidence, you know, early on the road and quiet the crowd down. You know, so, yeah, I'm not sure I have the answer for that other than we just got to be better coming out of the gate on the road.
Okay.
Thank you.